Amen. I want to have you remain seated tonight and for the scriptures that breaks our custom, but we've been standing much of the evening, and I'm not going to exposit these scriptures. I'm going to use them to stress just one particular message tonight. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, amen. Hallelujah. We've had that hour change, so your snack before bed hunger probably kicked in. And maybe I shouldn't have reminded you of that, but we'll keep that in mind tonight. In fact, I'll just give you the title of my sermon right now, What to Do with Those Thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's exciting in itself, isn't it? Verse 5 is my particular emphasis, casting down. Right there, that word, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations, every high thing, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I do want to talk to you tonight about this, what to do with those thoughts. And it's my desire to be helpful tonight, and that God would just do something in us, not just for the moment, but for the days ahead in our hearts and lives. Now, you know, this is some pretty strong language here in verse 5, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. And I know we're supposed to get the picture of a fort, a fortification like a castle, and the towers and walls are being torn down, and on the other hand, that enemy is taken prisoner and put in some kind of incarceration, some kind of jail, and we're supposed to have that image. But I've got to confess to you that when I was studying this and looking at casting down and bringing into captivity, I thought of karate. I'm not into karate. I don't watch karate and kung fu movies, so I don't know why I thought of karate. But let me tell you what I thought about. I thought of, here's this lone figure, and he knows karate, okay? But he's encircled by these villains that's out to get him. And one by one, they rush him. And as he rushes them, he doesn't stand there and take it. He doesn't let them just hit on him. He immediately grabs them and takes him and throws him down, and another runs at him. He turns to meet that one, and he gets a hold of that one, and he throws that one down, and another comes at him. And he's just turning constantly, but every time one comes at him, he gets a hold of that thing, and he throws it to the ground. That's the vision I got this time, karate. Now, don't think about karate, but I'm telling you, anybody that tries to serve God is going to be bombarded by thoughts. Thoughts that are not wholesome, thoughts that are not healthy, thoughts that are not helpful. And if you could take that simple illustration and realize by the power of God, every time one of those thoughts rushes at us, we can get a hold of that and throw it down and cast it down, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can you say amen tonight? And you see here, we have things other than thoughts, imaginations, and every high thing. Did you know we're in a world where we're constantly attacked by false philosophies and ideas and temptations? They're constantly rushing at us. I'm going to make a statement. You've heard it many, many times, but I'm going to make it a little differently tonight. Did you know that the battle for our soul is fought between our ears? I said the battle for our soul, the spiritual battle for our soul, is fought between our ears. And we are often told that. We're often told that the battle is in the mind, but we're rarely taught or told how to wage that battle. I know we're given the general answer. We're told for the battle of the mind, you need to pray, you need to read your Bible, you need to go to church, you need to worship, and that's right. That's good. And then that's the weapons that are not carnal. But specifically, how do we handle still the battle of the mind. You see, the battle of the mind is a battle with thoughts. It's a battle with thoughts. And I believe the question before us tonight is, what do we do with those thoughts? Amen. What should you think about your thoughts, if you will? And I'm going to take just a moment to lay some groundwork here, but I want to emphasize that the brain and the mind are two different things. The brain is just that gray matter organ in underneath your skull that controls your body functions. It controls your movements. It controls your sensations. It controls or gives you thought. But the mind is who you really are. The mind is that conscious person of who you are that handles those thoughts, that handles those emotions, that handles those memories of the brain. Amen. The mind is the part of you that can even think about your thoughts. Amen. Think about that. The part of you that thinks about your thoughts, that's not the brain. That is the mind of who you are. An animal has a brain, but I don't believe an animal has a mind that comes from self-consciousness, that comes from being made in the image of God. Amen. That's an important thing. I've heard this illustration given before. The difference between the brain and the mind. Amen. This piano, in the analogy tonight, that would be the brain. That's the gray matter. That's the organ underneath the skull. But a person that can play the piano, that's the mind. When they put the fingers to the keys, that's the mind. And yes, we have a brain, but we're more than brain. We have a mind. Amen. And that is where the answer lies. It's in our mind. And I just want to take you to where we're headed tonight. Amen. Paul said we can be renewed in our mind. Thoughts can come at our brain, but we can be renewed in our mind. Amen. As I go forward tonight, I'm going to use a reoccurring illustration to illustrate this. I'm going to use email as an illustration. You say, well, I'm not familiar with email. Well, for you then, we'll use the illustration of an unwelcome visitor knocking on your door, your front door. Either one of those will work when we talk about what to do with our thoughts. But here's the exciting thing, and here's the point of what I'm preaching tonight. We can do something about our thoughts. We can do something with our thoughts. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to be overcome. We don't have to succumb to our thoughts. We can do something about them, especially with the spiritual power and the spiritual weapons that God will give us. Hallelujah. He said you can cast them down. He said you can take them captive. And that's exactly what we must do with any thought that is not from God and for our good. Can you say amen? In fact, it's this simple of a thing. We must take our wrong thoughts captive, or our wrong thoughts will take us captive. Amen. Let me put it another way, in the form of a question. Is our faith captive to our thoughts, or are our thoughts captive to our faith? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad we can do something about our thoughts? We can cast them down. We can take them captive. Amen. I'm going to try to do it this way. I just got 3 points to make. And I wanted these words to rhyme at least on the end. But first of all, consider the origination. Consider the origination. What to do with those thoughts starts with this. Where a thought comes from determines what we should do with it. If a thought comes from God, you need to entertain that. But if a thought comes from the enemy, immediately cast it down. Take it captive. Where does that thought originate from? Amen. You'll hear thoughts like this as a believer. You're depressed. You don't need to go to church tonight. Nobody likes you. Amen. Serving God doesn't pay. It's more trouble than it's worth. You have to do that thing you're being tempted to do. You can't overcome that. Those are thoughts that will come at us. But the question is, where did those thoughts come from? I can assure you of one thing. Thoughts like that never came from God. Amen. I think I'll just give up. I think it's better in the world than it is serving God. Thoughts like that, they never came from God. Amen. So the first thing is consider the origination. Where did those thoughts come from? Now, I want to tell you something tonight that can really be liberating and can really help us if we'll get a hold of it. The mistake many Christians make is to believe that every bad, every horrible, every wrong, even every blasphemous thought comes from themselves. In other words, they think that thought originated from their own mind. And they have they're steeped with guilt and despair. Amen. You see, we got to understand something very often, especially when they're bad thoughts. Our thoughts have a source other than ourselves. And I'm telling you, this can really be liberating, because when you recognize the source, then you can know what to do with it. Amen. You see, it is in thinking that every wrong thought is from me, my mind, because of me, that leads me to the despair that I can't win the war. But if I realize that some of these thoughts that come at me do not originate from me, then I realize I can win this war, because the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Oh, hallelujah. Someone say, God, thank you. You're going to help us tonight. Hallelujah. I do want to make clear, we are responsible for our thoughts. But it is liberating to know that we're not responsible for every thought coming at us. So how are we responsible? We're not responsible for the fact that thought came at us, but we are responsible for what we do with it once it comes at us. Amen. What to do with those thoughts? Amen. Just to give us a little more understanding before we move forward, I want to distinguish or differentiate. There are voluntary thoughts. How many has at least one thought a day? Good. There are voluntary thoughts. What are those? Well, it's self-explanatory. Those are thoughts you choose to have. Things you choose to think about. And so the first question is, when we consider the origination, is, did I choose to have that thought? You see, I'm talking about having victory, what to do with it. Did I choose to have that thought? Now, there's a secondary question. Did I choose the thing that resulted in the thought? You know, sometimes a person can sit down and watch what they should and say, well, I never chose to think that. No, you didn't choose to have that thought, but you chose the thing that gave rise. That's not the word I'm looking for, but gave that thought an ability to come at you. So those are voluntary thoughts. Let's look at emails. You know, some emails, they come at you because you invited them. I mean, you either signed up for something and checked that box, send me that email, or you wrote an email to somebody expecting a response. And so when you get emails in your box, those kind, you can't say, well, why are they in my emails? Email box, you invited those. Those are voluntary thoughts. Amen. On the other side, if you don't use email, some people that knock on your door, you can't say, why are they knocking on my door? You invited them to your house, right? And so those are voluntary thoughts. Amen. But you see, if you choose to take in unwholesome material through television, through music, through friends that talk about things they shouldn't, then you are, in fact, choosing to have those thoughts. And so those are voluntary thoughts as well. Amen. But then there are involuntary thoughts. That's like you're sitting here trying to listen to me right now, and you all of a sudden thought, that bowl of ice cream's waiting on me. Now, it's one thing to have voluntary thought about that. Let's see. What am I going to eat when I get home? Let me look. That's a voluntary thought. But if you're just hungry because it's an hour later and suddenly you thought, oh, bowl of ice cream, that's an involuntary. And you say, and I know you're saying you're not speaking correct English. It should be involuntary. No, no. Involuntary is reflexive. It's a reflex. Involuntary is a thought that you did not choose and yet it came at you. I'm talking about what to do with these thoughts. Involuntary thoughts are thoughts you did not choose to have. Did you know some thoughts are just plain intrusive? They come when they shouldn't be there. Now, I'm going to let you in on something, and only those of you that minister or try to teach or up here trying to sing, you wouldn't believe sometimes when you're trying to do the work of God what kind of thoughts will come at you. They're mad at you, or this one left, or just strange thoughts. You know, something you got to do when you if you want to know about involuntary thoughts, get down to pray. Right? And suddenly you're bombarding with these thoughts. Now let me tell you, these thoughts are intrusive, but did you know almost never are they accurate? And almost never are these thoughts good. These involuntary thoughts. Now, let's go back to the email. Some emails are welcomed. You like getting them. I got an email this week. I'm really glad I got that email. It said something like this: "That message, Pastor, really helped me. I listened to it 3 times already." Well, I like emails. Send me emails like that. I like them. But I want to tell you something. I've got some emails I wish had never showed up in the inbox. Amen. Involuntary. I didn't ask for it. It just came. And many times these kind of emails are junk emails. They're spam. They're solicitations. You did not want that email in your inbox, but there it was. You say, well, set filters. Well, you can do that, and yet junk email has a way of getting through. Now, you say, what does that have to do with anything? Let me ask you this. When you get a junk email, do you berate yourself and say, you are so dumb for getting a junk email? Do you say, I'm responsible for the crazy thing that that junk email is saying? Do you say that? No, because it's involuntary. And there are thoughts that are, I should have said involuntary. There are thoughts that are involuntary. And you can't say, well, that's my fault. We're talking about learning what to do with it. And it starts by recognizing where they come from. Now, I do want to make a parenthetical statement here. If you visited a site that you shouldn't have and registered and start getting junk email from that site, then you are responsible. And I'm not preaching about the internet. I'm preaching about what we do with our thoughts. Let's go back to knocking on the door. If that salesman shows up, or that member of that cult shows up knocking on your front door and you didn't invite him, you can't blame yourself for that. You can beat yourself up and say, why in the world are they knocking on my door? So involuntary thoughts are not something that we blame ourselves for. It is true. If it's truly an involuntary thought, half the battle is to realize that's not you. That's not coming from you. Because all of a sudden, the enemy's not you. The enemy is that which is sending that involuntary thought. Number two, I gave you too much hope there. I want to explain that involuntary thought for just a moment. Don't tell me what your involuntary thoughts were right then. But some involuntary thoughts, they come from the inside. The inside. They do come from the inside. And I'll be real quick with this, but you know, sometimes the gray matter malfunctions. Let me give you one example of that. Have you ever had a high fever and been delirious and said things out of your head? Those were involuntary thoughts. But that was the gray matter that malfunctioned. Now, that can give you hope, because for it to malfunction, it has to be there, right? Right. But it still comes from the inside. Inside. Sickness can do that. But more seriously, there's involuntary thoughts that come from the inside. Did you know some of those thoughts come from the heart? I believe in salvation. I believe being born again. But I also believe the word when it says that we yet have a fallen nature. We yet have a sinful nature that needs to be sanctified, that needs to be helped. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and an evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Jesus said it, not me. He said evil thoughts come from that nature. Now thank God for salvation. But I'll tell you, and I'm not going to go into the unbelieving side of this, but if you're truly saved, those kind of thoughts are involuntary and unwelcomed. And we just need to realize where they come from. That comes from my fallen nature. Oh, God, sanctify me. Help me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Amen. That is our prayer. Some involuntary thoughts come from inside. They come from our subconscious. I had a question, and I never divulge anything. This is all generic, and it could have been this week or it could have been numbers of times I've been asked this, but the question was, you know, I've had some bad dreams. Am I responsible for that? And the question's a little more complex than you would think at first, but first of all, in one sense, you are not responsible for your dreams. If you think you are, then try this. Before you go to bed tonight, write out on a paper, put it on the nightstand, tonight I'm going to dream about this. And you might, but probably you'll never, if you put any detail in it at all, you'll never dream that thing that you want to dream. You always dream crazy things. Amen. How many ever dreamed that you could fly? I mean, without an airplane. I mean, okay. How many's dreamed that you were running on all fours? Okay, we'll stop right there. So, you know, you're not responsible in that sense for a dream. That came from your subconscious. And you know what? Your subconscious, that's why your dreams are so weird, though. Here's the cautionary note. Your dreams are weird because your mind doesn't make up something out of nothing. It takes things from your conscience memory and conglomerates them into something odd. But everything in that dream, some portion of it somehow was related to things that you experience, your consciousness. So are you responsible for your dreams? No, unless you fed that stuff that shouldn't be in your mind. You fed that into your subconscious. Now, if you watch a, God forbid, if you watch a horror movie before you go to bed and then you dream scary things, say, well, Pastor said, I'm not responsible for my dreams. Well, you were responsible for that pretty much. Right? You may not have wanted to dream that, but you put that in there and gave your dream machine, you gave your dream machine the material to make that dream. I'm talking about involuntary thoughts from inside. But you cannot, just because you had a bad dream, you cannot say, if you didn't feed that, it's me, I sin, this and that. That's your subconscious. And maybe there's some others in that area, but I want to talk particularly about involuntary thoughts from the outside. And we could spend a lot of time here, but I would just give you two. We live in a world. You work in a world. You're around a world. Now, you don't have to invite it in your home, but you're in a world that will suggest thoughts to you all the time. Whether it's at school or at work or the neighborhood or the mall, there is a world that will suggest thoughts to your mind. You're not trying to think that, but there it is, particularly through the avenue of temptation. It's there. They're come. We got to learn that we don't have to accept those thoughts, right? There's something to do, but they come from the outside. But the source I'm really concerned with, as believers, another source for the outside involuntary thoughts is Satan himself. And you know, I'm not egotistical enough to believe that I'm important enough that Satan himself follows me around, but I do know he's got plenty of help and plenty of cohorts and plenty of imps and plenty of demons, if you wish. But I do believe that Satan is the source of a lot of thoughts that bombard us. Thoughts that depress us, thoughts that make us feel like giving up, thoughts that discourage us, thoughts that turn our hearts or try to turn our hearts from the Lord. They come from our enemy himself. How many believe that? And I don't have time to get into theology because I don't believe Satan is God. He's just an angel, howbeit a fallen angel. And so I don't believe Satan is a mind reader. I don't think he can read. He can read human nature very well, but he can't read your mind. Satan would know some things about you if you hadn't blabbered it out. Amen. He's not a mind reader. And so I earnestly believe that Satan can't take thoughts out of our minds, especially the blood-washed mind. He can't take thoughts out of our mind, but he can sure put thoughts in our mind. He can whisper. He can speak. He can impress. He can talk. And that's a source of outside, involuntary thoughts. Now you say, why is that important? Because once again, to recognize where a thought originates is the first step in knowing what to do with it and having victory. You see, we got to ask the question, this thought that's perplexing me, this thought that's turning my heart from God, this thought that's disturbing me, depressing me, is it from God? Well, I have to say, no, it's not from God. God never discourages people. God never turns people's hearts from Him. I mean, that's not of God. Then you got to ask yourself, is it from me? Well, did you voluntarily have that thought? Are you purposely? Well, no. Then where else could that thought have come from? It comes from our enemy. And I'm telling you, anything from our enemy is not good. Amen. And I'm way ahead of myself, but anything from the enemy must be rejected. It must be cast down. It must be taken captive. And so when you realize where it comes from, you know what to do with it. People call me and say, well, you know, maybe God doesn't want me to whatever. Maybe God doesn't want me to come to church on Wednesday night because all I've been hearing all day is, you know, this. You know, God's not going to say that. But once you know it's not from God, you can get a hold of that thing like the Karate Kid again, and you can throw it down and say, I don't want that. Amen. Secondly, keep those thoughts out of the habitation. I want to tell you the most important habitation is not your physical home, but it's that place of your soul that God has created for His presence. And I want you to know nothing should be in that habitation of your spirit except God Himself and what is of God. Can you say amen? Keep those thoughts out of the habitation. Amen. Here's the question. When those thoughts come at you, do you let them take up residence in your mind and residence in your soul? How many knows the proverb said, keep your heart with all diligence for out of it are the issues of life? Well, you know, I have found that the mind is the door to the soul. And with your mind, you can either let those thoughts come in or you can keep them out. But when those kind of thoughts come at you, temptation and despair and depression and thoughts of turning from God, when they come and knock on the door, you don't have to let them in the habitation of your spirit. You can say no to them. I know you're out there knocking, but you're not coming in. In Oklahoma, we're sitting talking as you do, and family hadn't been together in a long time, and my mom was telling about when we three kids were very young. Now you got to understand something. We lived right on one of the main highways through our town, and about a quarter block from Main Street. And there's a lot of traffic, people and automobile. But one night we were awakened, and I don't remember this. I was still pretty young. But Dad went to the door, and there was a man dressed in all in white, and he had some kind of luggage with him. And my dad said, yes, what do you want? He said, I want to come in and sleep on your couch. And my dad said, I got young kids here. And the man said, that's okay, I won't bother them. I want to come in and sleep on your couch. Well, that's what he said he wanted to do. But my dad didn't have to let him in. And he didn't. Maybe it was an angel unaware being all in white, or maybe that was a ploy, I don't know. But he didn't have to let him in. I'm telling you, all kinds of thoughts can come at us. We don't have to entertain them. We don't have to let them through the door. We don't have to let them into the habitation of our heart. Can you say amen? Keep thy soul with all diligence. Amen. Just because somebody knocks on the door, you don't have to let them. Someone just this week asked me a question, and I'm thankful when people in sincerity ask questions, really wanting help, but they've been bothered by thoughts and discouraging thoughts and tempting thoughts. And they said, you know, is it sin for me to have these thoughts? And you know, the answer is no. That's not sin to have those kind of thoughts, but you need to recognize where they're from. Amen. Those are from the enemy. And it's not a sin to have those thoughts, but it is a sin to let them in. Amen. To entertain them. Amen. To let them come in. I believe it was Martin Luther at least attributed to him, but he said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building their nest there. Oh, that's still good. I don't care if we live in a tech world. That's still good. You can't keep the birds from flying over you, but you can keep them from building their nest there. Keep them out of the habitation. And I know there is some problem here, because to simply tell yourself, I will not think about such, makes you continue to think about it. Try it. Let's try it right now, okay? Once you do this, say, I will not think about ice cream, a bowl of ice cream, for the next 10 seconds. Do that. Would you do that? I will not think to yourself, I will not think about it. And see, sometimes that's what we do with our bad thoughts. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think. And you know, it's kind of like a rut in a road. Every time you think about it, you dig the rut a little deeper. And so I know it's more than that. You see, yes, it is in our will, in our determination. But it's got to be more than just saying, I will not. It's got to be recognizing, I've got to make the decision. I don't want it in the habitation of my heart. But it's God that's going to give me the weapons that are not carnal. It's God that's going to give me the power of the Spirit. It's God that's going to enable me, amen, to resist that thing and not let it in my heart. Hallelujah. You say, how do I do that? Well, if someone was knocking on your door, you'd keep the door lock. And if you had more than one form of lock, you'd keep pushing the bolt in and putting the chain there. The more they knock, the more you'd secure the door. You might even go get a chair and put up against it. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'll tell you the way you keep the door shut. Amen. It's with the Word of God right here. Every time a thought comes that shouldn't be in the habitation of your heart, you say you're not coming in, but you say you're not coming in with the Scripture. That's why this Word is so important. That's why I'm so disturbed that there's so little Word in our churches anymore. There's a lot of philosophy and psychology, but very little Word. You say, how does that work? Let me give you a simple illustration. Amen. You have this thought. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it as a believer. You can't serve God. You're not going to make it. You answer that. You say, you stay out. You say something like this. Well, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want in. I want in. The thought says, you're not going to make it. You quote the Word again. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The thought says, you're not going to make it. I'm going to come in. Amen. You say, wait a minute. Jesus said, I will never leave thee, nor for, you see, every time you quote the Word, amen, you come against that thing with truth. You bar the door to that thought. Amen. It's not psychology. It's the Word of God. And I know my mind works in crazy ways sometimes. You don't have to say amen. Just keep listening. But when I get this vision of this bad thought trying to get in, I thought of, you know, some of the cartoons. The guy knocks on the door and it's booby-trapped. And suddenly, as he moves towards the door, some net underneath him springs close around him and jerks him up on the top of the porch there. Or maybe it's one of those knockers. Those fists, those mechanical fists, and he tries to get in, and the fist hits him in the nose, and it knocks him down, or whatever you want to do, a trap door in the porch. I believe it's that way with thoughts. Amen. If you're determined not to let them in your habitation, they come at you, they knock. You quote the Word, and every time you quote the Word of God, you bind that thing up. Amen. Amen. You bind it. Take captive every thought. How do you take that thought captive? You do so by the Word of God. Truth will capture the error, the wrong, every time. You can get rid of it with the truth of God's Word. Hallelujah. You quote God's Word. You pray against those things. I think it's perfectly fine to say, in the name of Jesus, I reject that thought. Lord, I know you're here with me. I know, Lord, you said I can overcome. Lord, I know you said that I can be a victor. You pray against those thoughts. We've been talking about the door. Let's go back to the analogy of email. And one of the worst types of junk email, involuntary email, is a virus email. And those that are tech savvy, you know what they'll tell you every time? How to avoid viruses? If you don't recognize the sender as someone good and trustworthy, don't ever open it to start with. Delete it. And I want to tell you, when you recognize that thought is not from the good sender God, don't ever open it to start with. Delete it. Delete it with the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to move on to completion in just a moment. But again, it's not enough just to say I'm not going to think the wrong thought. We must think the right thoughts. When somebody comes knock on the door saying, I want to sleep on your couch, sorry, buddy, somebody's already sleeping on it. I like to spend the night in one of your bedrooms. Sorry, it's full. Amen. And I'm not talking about being inhospitable. You understand what I'm saying. Amen. I'm telling you, the best way to resist bad thoughts is to keep your heart and mind and soul filled with good thoughts. And then what Paul said, whatsoever things are good, lovely, pure, good report, all these, think on these things. You know, when you get older, it gets harder to think about things. Have you ever noticed that? Try to get a name, or how many notices that? Anyone that's not over 40, you didn't tell the truth. But I discovered, you know, young people look at that, you know, when you're trying to remember a name. Oh, what was their name? I know it like this. Oh, what was that name? Oh, I can't read. Oh, what was it? Or how to do it? You know, they look at that. Man, you're losing it. You're getting dumber. You know what I discovered? That's not happening because we're getting dumber. It's because we're getting smarter. Let me explain. Let me explain. I mean, here's how it is when you're young. Let's... we'll just use the top of the pulpit here. Can you see the top of the pulpit here? When you're young, this is your mind right here, this shelf. Well, listen, it just stands to reason. If you've only got one thing on the shelf and you need to get it, that's no problem finding it. I mean, it's so evident where it's at, right? That's why your recall is so great. But you know, for many of us, we got so much stuff on the shelf. I mean, it's crowded. That when we have to recall something, we have to sort through it. I mean, there's just so much. So we're actually getting smarter, aren't we? Right? I mean, someone's got so much that things are falling off the shelf. And what I would say tonight, keep the shelf full. I said, keep the shelf full. Don't give him room to put something on the shelf. Hallelujah. Anyone with me tonight? I'm trying to help us tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You see, if you can voluntarily think wrong thoughts, you can voluntarily think good thoughts too, if you would. Last of all, command their destination. That guy knocking on your porch, not only do you say, I'm not letting you in, you tell him to get off your porch. Amen. Take captive. Cast them down. Take them captive. Amen. You've not let them in. You've not let those wrong thoughts in. Now bind them and send them away. Amen. How do you do that? First of all, you totally reject that thought as wrong and untrue. Don't wonder about it. Don't entertain it. Don't debate it. Just say, that's not of God. Therefore, it is not true. It is wrong. It is damaging. It is unwholesome. It is hurtful. That's how you send those thoughts away. You reject them. And then you label them for what they are and where they've come from. You have thoughts of suicide that never came from God. Label that. That's a diabolic, that's a dark, devilish thought sent my way. You see, not only do you refuse to read junk email, you also delete it, but you do one more thing. You block the sender. Sometimes you need to block the sender. I'm talking about taking captive those thoughts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, now, Pastor, it's not easy to do with thoughts, all those things you suggested, but that's where the help of God comes in. And I want to make clear again, you're right, in ourselves, we can't do this. But if God sees a determination of our heart, and we're seeking Him, and He will give us those weapons that are not carnal, that are mighty through God. Mighty through our own ability? No. Mighty through our own self-will? No. Mighty through our own self-discipline? No. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down every evil imagination and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Music, would you come? Hallelujah. Last of all, command their destination. You get out of here because I refuse to act on that thought. I'm not going to close with an illustration. I want to close with one more scripture from Romans. And I want to say something. If you're bombarded with thoughts of giving up, of quitting, of giving in to the world, don't act on those thoughts. The answer is not giving in. The answer is in letting God renew your mind. Because those thoughts take their toll. The bombardment of those thoughts take their toll. But don't give up. Don't give in. Let God renew your mind. Look at this promise that we have. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Here it is, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't listen to it. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, aren't you glad he can renew your mind? Oh, hallelujah. Brother Steve was quoting a while ago to me one of the most powerful verses in the Bible is Psalm 23 when it says, he restoreth my soul. You've been bombarded with the thoughts. You've been bombarded with temptation. You've been depressed by it. You've been discouraged by it. You've been thinking the battle cannot be won. But if you'll make your stand, you do these things with your thoughts, I said that you can do. God's going to get involved. And the way he's going to really equip you to overcome, he's going to renew your mind. Let me visit the email one more time. If you're having trouble with junk email that has viruses, one of the things you need is you need an update on your antiviral software. They have to keep, they're always creating new viruses, and so they have to always create antidotes for that or things that catch those, whatever that word is called, that catch them before they taint your computer. And so if you're really being bombarded by thoughts, what you need is an update on your antiviral software. You need your mind renewed. How many believes the power of God can renew your mind? Would you stand across the building? Let's bow our hearts just for a moment. First of all, I want to talk to someone here. You know, whether you're a believer or not, this thing is true. You've been bombarded by dark thoughts. Dark thoughts about life. Dark thoughts about people. Dark thoughts about yourself. Discouraging, depressing, dark. I want you to know God can touch your mind and your heart tonight if you'd give him the opportunity. Some here tonight, you're struggling to your utmost to serve and to live for God, and you've been bombarded lately by thoughts. I want to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven who can renew your mind, change your outlook, move in your soul, and help you take captive those thoughts and free you to think his thoughts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know, it might be an odd kind of altar call. But I wonder how many tonight would just be real honest with the Lord and say, by coming, you would say, I've been bombarded by thoughts. We don't need to know what those are. Those are a private matter. But tonight, with God's help and with his weapons that he gives, I'm going to cast down, I'm just going to throw it down to the ground, everything that's anti-God, every thought that's anti-good, every thought that's anti-more, I'm going to throw it to the ground, and I'm going to take captive those thoughts, and I'm going to let God renew my mind. Anybody like to just be honest and begin to come and say, that's what I need. I need God to renew my mind tonight. Are you here? You'd come. Would you come in honesty and say, that's what I need. That's what I need. Amen. From young to old. Amen. That's what I need. I need God to renew my mind. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Would you come and just feel this place, these altars? I'm telling you, you can overcome. I mean, it feels like a trap. It feels like there's no way out. It feels like they have to come in, but they don't. Make your stand. Let God give you those weapons. Let God renew your mind. Those are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. 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 Let's seek Him. Why don't you just pray that way? God, renew my mind. Oh, God, renew my mind. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by Your Spirit. God, renew my mind. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, come on, let's pray around this place. God is our help. Hallelujah. 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 There's folks getting help tonight. Folks getting help tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Mighty through God. Lord, the thoughts that come from You, or I love You, You're my child, I'm here for You, I'll strengthen You, You're going to make it, I'll see to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are thoughts from the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help these that are calling upon your name. Let them hear your thoughts. God said, I know my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end.